Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, church family, God bless you. Today is we've come to another significant day in the life of our congregation. I do want to say welcome to our guests and visitors who are here with us today. We're so glad that you could join us. It's going to be an awkward day a little bit because today we're kind of focusing on some things that are happening with inside the church. It's our policy here at First Christian Church to give a pastoral staff, sabbatical after 7 years of service and then every 5 years thereafter. And so I was scheduled to take a small sabbatical. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. You've heard about the pandemic, right? Okay, yeah. You get it. And as much as I like to think that I'm not invincible, absolutely that is not the case. We have a team of advisors to our congregation that come in roughly every 14 to 16 months and kind of do an evaluation. And actually, you're going to be able to hear several of those individuals over the next few weeks as they come in. They regularly communicate with me, and they come into our church and they kind of do similar to a doctor's visit. Okay, they kind of look through everything. They look under the hood, if you will, and they kind of try to take a wellness check to just see how things are going within the church. They interview leadership, they interview staff, they interview some various members within the congregation. They love First Christian Church. They're a blessing to me and to my family. And in their last visit, they gave a report to our elders, which strongly recommended that I take a sabbatical, which was already being discussed within our church leadership. But they affirmed it for the church and for myself. And so there are a few things today, as this is my last Sunday in the pulpit with y'all, with my family here. I have mixed my family vacation into this sabbatical in prayer that this will be a time, again, to reconnect with my family, because we're in that interesting part where we've got kids. We got Ellie's just one more year in high school, hopefully, one more year in high school, and then heading. No, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. Is she here? Oh, she's not here, and she's not streaming, though. But I'm going to hear that one when I get home. Mental note, Ellie's not cooking today. Okay, so. Man, she cooked really well this weekend. They all did. They did well. But as we get ready to change gear, gang, there's some things that I need to communicate to you. And the first is this. Rest doesn't come natural to me. It's against my personality type, and some of you understand that. Some of you are just like me. Politely, some of you have said, you're wired tight. That's an understatement. Tightly, excuse me. So I get it. That's part of my personality. That's part of who I am. But that kind of goes against some of the structure that God designed and destined us. Rest is important. I mean, if you think of one of the Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And ministers sometimes are the chief offenders of that commandment. And I certainly am not exempt from that. And so in a sense, I stand before you humbled and repentant of understanding workaholicism. And so I understand it. And as a society, I've talked with you before. From my personal background, I've found so much value in trying to prove my worth by work, which is a fantastic thing. But theologically, that's damaging. It is damaging to try to find your value in Christ by what you do rather than who you are. And so that's something that happens. It's a very real thing in our society. Baby boomers are certainly guilty to that to a large extent. And so those are some things that, you know, I need some rest. I need to just come to a place to understand those things. And it's hard for most pastors to receive. It's a humbling time, but it's important. It's good. So I have a few more things to say. And the first thing I want to tell you is this. Thank you. I want to tell the congregation, to the leadership of the church, to our advisors, I want to tell you thank you. And I'm a little alarmed to be honest, at how tired I am. I recognize that the fatigue that I'm experiencing, I'm not trying to do too much disclosure, just so you know and you understand. I notice I'm more short-tempered in the past, you know, probably 12 months. I notice that it's difficult for me to rest. I notice that this fatigue has affected my personal worship into some areas. And I'm not talking I'm backslidden or anything like that. I'm just saying it is time overdue. And extended rest is actually not our idea. It's actually God's idea. And if we look at Leviticus chapter 25, 1 through 7, there's some pretty interesting things that we see. You see, Sabbath rest is a command in God's scripture. God commanded a year of solemn rest for the land of Israel and for every 7 years. And you got to remember that this is an agricultural society, and this means that the majority of people would rest as well. This is what you need to understand. It was part of their worship of God and a way to learn dependence on Him. And this isn't exactly the same as sabbatical, but it shows that the principle of regular and extended rest is a good idea because, in fact, it is God's idea. Moses took a long season of rest before beginning his ministry. Elijah needed more than 40 days to recover from depression and to rediscover his call to ministry. Jesus took 40 days in the wilderness to fast and to pray right before his ministry began. And Jesus often withdrew and left the needs of ministry to spend time communing with the Father. So scripture records leaders taking times of solitude to both prepare for and to recover from ministry. Okay, Matt, that's the second point there. Scripture records leaders taking times of solitude to both prepare for and to recover for these times of ministry. And here's the neat thing. Have any of you ever had this experience? Or maybe you have kids who've had this experience in the middle of the night. They get up. Oh, my legs hurt. And you say, you're having, what are you having? Growing pains. Because when you rest, growth hormones are released. You grow when you rest. You do. It's a biological fact. You grow when you rest. And the same is true for us. You see, that works so against our nature, which says we do it all ourselves. And for workaholics, that is a difficult thing. Now, I will be the first to admit, I know some of the laziest people I know are ministers. That's part of my problem is fighting against that culture. And I'm embarrassed and humiliated because of that fact. I don't want to be that guy. But sometimes you can go too far the other direction. Studies have shown that pastoral stress is unique and leads to burnout. Now, I know that this is a weird message today, but I want you to understand what the next few weeks are about. Because I've heard some people say, oh, I hope you have fun on your extended vacation. Okay, I get it. I understand that. I've heard people say, oh, yeah, I wish I had a job that would pay me not to work. I understand that. I get it. I need you to understand and I need you to value this time. Okay? And so it kind of feels self-serving to stand up here and to say it as if somehow I'm defending, but I need you to understand the principle and why we as a church leadership, why we as a church have valued this and are moving forward. Because this can be a time to grow. And so there are some times that I need to address and that every one of us needs to address our mental health and our physical health as well as our spiritual health. And that churches actually grow when they're forced to rely on God more than just their pastor. Hello. You're going to hear this theme throughout the next, it ain't about the pastor, gang. It ain't about the pastor. And any church who rises and falls simply because of their pastor has missed it. Okay? If a pastor's doing their job right, our job is to equip the saints. Ephesians chapter 4 says that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Who does the work of the ministry? The minister. Nope. The work of the minister is the saints. Are there any saints in the room today? If you're a saint in the room today, say amen. Amen. Are there any ain'ts in the room today? We'll pray for you. So we got the saints and the ain'ts. Okay. All right, so there's some things that I need to do, and I've laid out a pretty aggressive plan over the next several weeks. But there's some things that I need you to, we got preachers ready to come in and fill the void, and that'll be awesome. And there's some things that I'm going to do. So my parting time for you is I'm just going to go through an acrostic of things that we need you to do over the next few weeks. And I'm going to use the acrostic parting. And the first one is arguably the most important one, is to pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, 17 and 18 says, to take up the, let's all read this together, gang. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So, gang, we are called during this time to pray. I'm going to be really focusing on that time, and I need everybody to focus. The church, we need each other. Pray for me. Pray that God's going to restore, to correct, to refine, to heal, and to encourage. By the way, if you're only praying that God corrects me, then look at yourself in the mirror. But anyway, I tell you, I'll be the first one with that. Also, pray for our leadership. We have a wonderful church leadership here. Amen? And they're scared to death, but it's okay. Pray for our church leadership because they're stepping into some wonderful positions. Pray for our elders. Pray for those who are going to be sharing messages, those who are going to be sharing their gifts. Pray for our guests. Pray for the various ministry areas at First Christian Church. Pray for our other churches in the community because we have some wonderful, wonderful brothers and sisters who are worshiping in other buildings, but we're worshiping the same God. Amen. So we pray for one another. I always, when other churches go through things, we pray for them. We don't become opportunistic. We bless and we encourage one another. Pray that we get along. Come on, how many of you know that when mom and dad are gone, that's when a lot of the fights happen, right? All right. So pray, and that's the truth. Pray that we get along. Pray that we would not lose momentum during this summer, but rather this will be a time to grow. Again, once again, that newsflash, it ain't about the preacher. Second one, A. A is for attend. In other words, I'm not taking the summer off of church. Okay? I won't be here. Doesn't mean I won't be watching. Okay? And there is a value, and we've said this all along. Now is the time to plug in and step up. Now, through the pandemic, a few things happened, and some things happened beforehand. The advent of a technology, especially streaming technology, makes it very, very convenient for us to stay at home. There are people who aren't in the room today because they're at home in their pajamas. And I want to say, we love you. God bless you. Don't come to church in your pajamas, but we miss you and come to church. Okay? And so it's important that we gather together. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 says that we should not be neglecting to meet together, but as is the habit of some. People fall in the habit of not going to church. Just like you make good habits, you can make bad habits. And some bad habits are really enjoyable, aren't they? Y'all love Krispy Kreme? That's not a good habit. And I'm telling you, it's a hard habit to break. Because you start with one, and then you have a dozen. Okay, we have break a bad habit. This summer would be a great time to break a bad habit. And I totally get that we have individuals who have vacations, and we have individuals who are, you know, pursuing different things. And we want to build bridges with families who have activities. That's why the stream's here. But the stream is not to replace coming together. So we get it. When you're traveling, please use it. And please understand, though, that we miss and we really want everyone to come together. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage. Everybody say encourage.
Encourage.
Encourage folks to come together. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So here's why I really think, in the light of what's happened In the light of what's happened in our country in the past week, in the light of this incredible season of tribalism and turmoil, where we're spurred on by the media and social media to hate one another, we ought to be coming together and worshiping together. Amen? This is the summer. Do not take this summer off, but come together. Matthew 18, 20 reminds us that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So gang, attend, connect together, okay? I can't go on sabbatical if you do as well. Okay? Parting shot. Okay, R. R is for, who wants to take a guess? Read your Bible. Okay, do not take the summer off from one another, nor take the summer off from God. Consider getting into a small group. Consider finding another way to come together to delve into. That's, as we talked last week, Matt, that is one of those small steps. Find a small group to come together, to connect with, to pray, to encourage one another. Those folks who have to travel during the weekends, now find a way to find another commitment, a face-to-face connection. Don't let it just be virtual. Find a small group that meets in the morning. Call the church. We'll get them set up. We'll establish them. Okay, gather around the Bible, read the Bible together on your end, on your own. It is an important time to be filled with God's word and ready for action. When we come together, let's come together and make God's word a central focus on that. Fellowship is important, but keep God's word a vital part of it. And you will have opportunities then, when you are filled with God's word, you'll have opportunities to share and to be used. Let's go on to the T. And no one likes it when I say this one. Here, what's the T stand for? Tithe. Boo. Yes. No. This summer, during sabbatical, it's important that we continue our generous support of God's work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 9 says, whoever sows, let's all read this together, gang. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Okay? It's important, gang, that we continue in our support of God's ministry. Don't let summer slump affect attendance or affect our stewardship. Because the church goes on, the church continues, and we are growing, and stewardship is a part of that. We still have bills to pay. We still are preparing to replace the educational building. We're still looking for different ministries to honor the Lord and to continue to move forward. So our continued faithfulness in stewardship and our tithes, that is very important and part of what we need to continue to do this summer. The next one is I, invite others. Well, how can we invite others? The pastor's not here. Refer to my first several points. Invite. The church must grow. The church is not the church if it is not growing. I get it. The culture is shifting. Sometimes that's hard. But study after study shows this, that the reason the majority of people don't come to church is because no one ever invited them. Study after study. It just shows. People need to be invited. So invite others. Remember that the ministry continues. I'm expecting, not hoping, not thinking, I am expecting that this church will grow over the next few weeks to the point that when I get back, some people are going to say, why are we even having him back? It's all right. Look, I work for him, not you. And I don't take that the wrong way. Don't take that the wrong way. I am a very replaceable cog in this whole thing. Okay? Pray for others. Invite others. Let's have a summer of growth. And you know how that begins? Is having the mindset that we're going to grow. It doesn't just normally happen. It's just, yeah, well, I hope that you... No, you invite somebody. And rest and growth go hand in hand. I believe that this will be a time of wonderful growth. The next one is probably the one that I'm most concerned about, but this is important. N stands for be non-critical. Why is that important? Because we live in a society that is hyper-critical. I use the word hypercritical because that is what we have created through social media especially. Goodness gracious, algorithms, if you've ever watched The Social Experiment, if you haven't watched that, I would encourage you to. Because algorithms at YouTube, at Facebook, at Twitter, all of those different Instagram, they are all generated. They have found that negative responses create engagement more than positive ones. That's why you find things that make you mad. It engages you. That algorithm is very real because that understands something has happened fundamentally to the psyche of our nation, gang. We love to hate. And that is a work of the flesh. That is a carnal sign. When we reject God and we purge God, that's how we get cyberbullying. That's how we get all of these things and mental health crises that have continued to spiral out through the pandemic, gang. That comes from being critical. You don't go on and say, wow, had a really nice meal. You say, oh, this person didn't do this. Blah, 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 post, like, bomb. Again, it's not good. Not good. Half the coffee tables probably in Illinois would be empty if we stopped chewing on one another. Oh, amen. Y'all won't do it, I will. Next point. No. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For the whole week, I want, and in light of that, gang, seriously, in light of that, listen, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. There's a reason that he writes this to the church in Corinth. Because when we look through historical accounts, when we look through all of Paul's writings, when we look through the book of Acts, we find out that there was this nature inside for carnality to affect our speech. It had a negative impact. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Now look where the strongholds are. We destroy arguments and every lofty what? Opinion. What's the opposite of a lofty opinion? A humble opinion. And I got no right to chew on you unless I've looked at the mirror. And newsflash, when I look at the mirror, I have not attained the stature of Christ yet. Is anybody in this room? Because if you have, raise your hand and I'd love to pray for you. We all still have room to grow. Humility. Okay, all of these areas. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take what, gang? What is taken captive? Every thought to obey Christ. Does Christ want you to gossip? Does Christ want you to just tear everybody down? We're to speak the truth in love, and there are sometimes hard things that need to be spoken, but they need to be spoken to the person that you got an issue with, not about. Go back to many earlier sermons for that. And take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience. Now, where's this disobedience that we need to punish? This starting here in my mind. Say, look, I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to engage in those things. And when your obedience is complete. Okay, so let's move forward here. So let's be non-critical during this time. The next one as we go to our final one here today is guard one another. Guard one another. So when we guard one another, this is a beautiful thing. I love the image of the shield of faith. Matt, would you click that picture here? This is a good image of the Roman shield of faith. And here's what I love about them. They lock together. The Roman shield was designed to interlock with another. And not only that, you get a group of people together and they lock their shields of faith and you have a wall and a ceiling. You are protected on all sides. If you're coming against me, I can only deal with this. But if we get a group of people together, we can come together. We can look to guard one another. It is time for us to bind together like never before. If you're away traveling, great. God bless you, but connect and guard one another. Okay? If you have some other areas around, try to come together and guard one another in your voice, in your prayers, in your speech, in your social interaction. This is a time for us to lock our shields of faith together. So some individuals, now I've put it out in the newsletter, we've talked about it, but now let me just say it here from the pulpit. How do things need? So how do we handle needs over the next several weeks? Call the office. If there's a pastoral need, call the office or call one of the elders. Okay? All that information is online. You can feel free to send a message through the website, feel a message through any of our connection points, and the office will direct, or an elder is going to direct, any needs appropriate. So my email is going to not be checked for the next several weeks. There will be standing office hours for somebody to be in there for prayer on Tuesdays from 10 to 11-ish or by appointment. Feel free to call the office and set up an appointment, and we'll have people there for you. We have relationships with counseling services, and so if you need counseling, we have some other pastors who are on standby, as well as professional Christian counselors. Be gracious. And be kind. And in the words of one of my favorite songs, God be with you till we meet again. Now, the truth is, you're going to see me around because I'm not just like going. And please don't make it awkward. So like if I see you in the grocery store, you're like, oh, and you're running behind the other aisle and hiding underneath there, you know. Look, it's okay. I'm just trying to step away from pastoral stress and duties for a while. I still love you, and it'll be hard for me. It's awkward. I get it. It's not like we're exes now, okay? I'm not your ex-pastor, but I'm not doing pastoral work now, okay? Understand, people will do things differently. Some of you are like, yay. Different is good. Different is different. So I believe that this time can be a time of growth if we look in and we just do these things together. Church, are you up for the challenge? Yes. Let me ask you again, are you up for the challenge?
Yes.
All right. Well, God bless. Let's pray together, church. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. And God, personally, I thank you for the love that this congregation has given me, has given my family, and the support, even by taking this big step. Lord, I pray for those who are nervous about it. I just pray that we could experience your peace, and as we look to you and we place this all in your hands, I pray, God, that just as the elders prayed last Tuesday, I just pray that your hand of blessing would be upon this time for all of us, that we all grow, that we all rest, that we're all restored. And Father, as we I consider the needs of these individuals whom you've called me to shepherd, I thank you that the chief shepherd, are the one who does everything, God. And so we thank you that every need will be met. We thank you that this will be a time of growth, that we will all step up, and that in doing so, Lord, your kingdom will continue to increase. I pray a blessing on First Christian Church. I pray a blessing on every church that preaches Christ in this community, and everything, Father, that we would reach out and share your love, that this summer wouldn't be a summer where Christians take it off, but this would be a summer where we grow deeper and we have a positive impact for your kingdom in this community. We love you. And we thank you and we honor you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.